Now, here's the problem, though. You think about it. One is made of paper crafts, and one is made of aluminum cans. The Autobots won that day due to Optimus Prime and his Can Man.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Comedia Go-Go's podcast, Public Access. Once again, this is Larry.
This is Regan.
And this is Jess.
And Regan, we're happy campers to be talking about what today?
All right, three topics today. Topic number one is, who is the greatest witch or wizard ever and why, in your opinion, obviously. Topic number two is, if your parents were able to punish you now, as an adult, what would be the most effective way? And topic number three is, what has gone extinct in your lifetime that you wish was still around? Whether it was a sports team, product, animal, anything, slang, clothing, you choose.
I can't wait to talk about those topics, man.
They spared no expense.
I love it. And you know what? We're pleased as punch to have a fellow podcaster, nerd extraordinaire, owner and operator of Circuit 42. They're the ultimate answer to life, the universe, and everything. Mr. Ian McIntosh, how are you, sir?
Well, first, I can't say owner. I have to say co-owner.
Co-owner, okay.
My co-host will kill me. Right. And then I won't be able to record another show.
What's your co-host's name?
There are many to be named. Daniel Williams, Adam McCullough, Sandra Lee, Autumn Ivy, Desi Diamond, a lot of people.
But you know what?
It's a super team.
You are here, so you know what, guys? Hey, man.
But you're the Captain America of the team, right?
IMAC, dude.
Sure, I mean, I have a hat.
All right, that's
dude. You know what? In my eyes, Circuit 42 is Ian McIntosh. So yeah. I'm sure all the other guys are cool, man. Yeah. But right now, dude, IMAC's the coolest.
Those guys are C-tates, and he's the president. He's White House down.
Oh, he's Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, he's Jamie Foxx.
You're fucking Jamie Foxx.
I'm not wearing Nikes. What the hell?
I am. I'll be Jamie Foxx.
I'm Dean Cain still, though, right? I'm cool with that.
So IMAC was calling Regan Dean Cain, which I think's hilarious because Dean Cain.
Has done nothing.
No, Guinness Book of World Records, man. That still exists.
He got all up in what's her name?
Terry Hatcher.
Terry Hatcher. See, how I should have known that. Come on.
He hosted 2 days in the Valley.
Did he host Ripley's Believe It or Not? Like the new Ripley's Believe It or Not? Not like the new Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Yeah, he did.
Okay.
It's like, I'm Dean Cain. Please give me money.
He was basically just reading a comic.
Yeah.
Did you know? Yeah, that I used to be Superman.
I like Dean Cain. He's all right.
He's an Asian Superman.
He's no Jack Palance.
Oh, who is Jack Palance?
They used to know him as the Earl of Sandwich. Believe it.
Oh, come on. He was in Curly's Gold.
Yeah, he was in
Dean Cain?
No.
Wait, was he? For a second, I was like, he might have been.
He was hot.
Jack Palance and Hawk the Slayer.
Yes.
Hawk the Slayer.
He was in Shane.
It wasn't
according to Bill Hicks.
Yeah.
Pick up the gun.
Pick up the gun.
So, IMAC, tell us a little bit about Circuit 42.
Circuit42.com is a pop culture website. We've been around for about 3 years now.
Right on. Awesome.
We were previously a website called The Geek Den, but we changed things, rebooted the webpage a little bit. There was drama, because there's always drama.
Yeah.
But I don't know if any of you have heard of the website backoutoftheglasses.com.
Yeah.
Really popular pop culture website, like nerd culture site. And one of our first guests we got was Benzai from Back at the Glasses. And then we realized we've got Benzai and Misty Dawn as our first two guests. So why can't we get bigger from here?
Nice. Right. Who's Misty Dawn?
Misty Dawn was a former adult actress.
I was going to say that, but I didn't want to be rude.
And now but she's also a huge gamer icon. She's working for Destructoid, Kotaku, and Machinima.
Nice. Those are gaming websites.
So let me Google Misty Dawn.
Don't you dare. He does this all the time.
No, I'm just saying. I want reference.
Safety search on.
I'm just going to reference Misty Dawn.
We had
facial.
Previous podcasters who had met. Well, he actually did this male or female. They, the Black and Tan podcasters guys had.
Evan Stone.
What was his name?
Oh, fuck.
His Magnum?
Name was like,
Ken Magnum or something?
John Magnum. His name was just straight up John Magnum.
Once they said his name, he started Googling.
That's the greatest porn name ever since Big Penis.
51? She's 51 years old?
I think you might be looking at the wrong person. It's like, oh, wait, that's my mom. Never mind.
This one?
No.
All right.
Somehow,
he's going to go off on a tangent. Let him research.
Tell me about,
So some of the your most memorable guests that you've had.
We've had Michael Bell. He's a voice of Duke on G.I. Joe. He's a voice of Opus. He's a voice of your childhood,
basically. Absolutely. Yes. And you got him to do what?
We got him to do a bumper in the style of the old school G.I. Joe PSAs. And
which is the coolest thing.
That is the coolest thing.
We've had a cult figure, Uwe Ball.
Yeah. That's awesome. Did you guys fight him?
Actually, no. He was actually really cool.
Cool. Good. Good to know.
We had TV producer and writer Tim Ainear, who worked on Firefly, Angel, Dollhouse, and as recently American Horror Story.
Awesome.
And we had Ellen McLean, the voice of GLaDOS from the Portal series, and her husband, John Patrick Lowry, the voice of the sniper from Team Fortress.
Damn. That's awesome stuff. Love it.
So you guys frequent to Comic-Cons, right? Well, you know, did you guys go to Alamo City last year?
I was at Alamo City.
Yeah.
And that's what I was going to say earlier. You've been in San Antonio only for like 1 year, right?
Yeah. I lived here a couple years ago. I moved, and then I came back about 10 years later.
And I was going to say, like, you picked a good year to move because, like, I want to say... 3 years ago, 4 years ago, the scene isn't even close to what
now
it
we're
was
now we're now. Hitting. It's second year of Alamo City Comic Con, and come in January, it's going to be the PAX South, which is the Penny Arcade Expo, and it's going to be a giant gaming convention that they're actually having.
So you picked a good time to come back.
So what do you think of the San Antonio scene?
It's a little bit different from the Arizona scene because when I was in Arizona, there were some people that I was kind of friends with, and I didn't realize how big they would get or how big they were. Like, I used to hang out with, like, Kara Nicole, AZ Power Girl, Jessica Negri, when she first started cosplaying, Raven Gregory from Zenoscope Comics.
That'd be a cosplay.
Brian Polito, the creator of Lady Death, Evil Ernie.
Oh.
And it's just kind of crazy, because I really didn't realize how big an industry there was in Arizona until I left
what
Arizona.
City?
Tempe and Phoenix.
Maybe. Okay, right on.
But I actually really like the San Antonio... the whole San Antonio scene around here, I think in many ways, one of the few issues I think could genuinely be improved is that there seems to be almost a conflict between certain conventions, which I don't really understand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would.
And I think if they were able to stop doing that and realize, hey, we're all part of the same team.
Right.
Instead of competing with each other, work together. And because really, that's the only way you're going to be able to really build something like what they have in Arizona or what they have in California or in the Northwest, is to really kind of work together and be a little bit more organized. So I notice you have, like, different fan groups just kind of spread out all over. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if you guys really tied together and made more of an organized network, it would be really easy to build
absolutely
to something like in Arizona.
Because I think, I mean, when if you're like, well, we want to be the biggest comic con and like in the city, it's like, oh, that's great. But your fan base wants to do this more than once a year. Like, they want to go out and like and meet with other people more than once a year. Why not have multiple, you know, different cons throughout the year? So I think that's totally, I totally agree with that.
What I really think could work actually really well is if instead of treating themselves as separate from Austin, if they worked together more with the conventions from Austin. Because I know Capital City has actually worked with Apple before.
Oh, is that right?
Apple is actually at Capital City.
Austin.
God damn it. No!
Look. No. Look, I like you, Austin. Okay, like me back, dude. What did I ever do to you?
Whatever. You like the people that you know in Austin.
I love the people that I know from Austin. But do they like me?
No.
Exactly.
Well, no, kind of do.
Well, the people that you know like you.
Nah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah.
I mean, they won't say they like you, but they like you.
Well, I think the problem is that one time that you tried to break into Robert Rodriguez's film studio, that may have actually caused a riff.
Oh, no. Man. Well, no. See, here's
he likes us. That's another thing.
Robert Rodriguez likes Robert Rodriguez. Watch this.
Boys.
Robert Rodriguez.
Watch this name drop.
Is from San Antonio. Yep. That's right. But now he said he's from Austin.
Because he lives Larry there. That's awesome. I was born in Anaheim, California.
Then
I don't
say you're from Anaheim,
no,
bro.
No, that's dumb. I was lived there for a year. I lived here all my life, so I say I'm from
Robert
San Antonio.
Robert Rodriguez lived here all his life.
But he lives in Austin now, so when you say, where are you from? I'm from Austin, because that's where my house
is.
Yeah,
he lives in Austin.
Robert, bro.
No.
Double R.
DR?
Yeah.
Dude. We like Robert Rodriguez.
We do. I'm just saying, bro, just...
He's
up for
his last
hood.
Couple movies.
Well, he chose.
He lived down the street from
he
here.
Chose. He chose our one of our 48-hour film festival entries. He chose the winner. He chose our movie. So we're very, very.
That's
very,
really cool.
Yeah, that was very, very happy.
See,
so we
Rob,
like him,
Robert.
Mm-hmm.
Although I got to say, Sin City: A Dame to Kill For was underrated.
Really, I haven't seen it.
Underrated.
Yes.
All right. Guardians of the Galaxy. Your
awesome.
Thoughts.
Perfect.
Perfect. Perfect. All right.
Worst Marvel movie.
Worst Marvel movie. Elektra.
Ooh, over Ghost Rider 2?
Well, here's the thing. I like Nick Cage. And
there you go.
And do you like him ironically or do you truly like him?
Both.
Okay. Well, here's fair.
Yeah, okay.
Because here's the thing. For every Bangkok Dangerous...
Right.
You have a Leaving Las Vegas.
Leaving Las Vegas, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
For every Wicker
Raising
Man.
Raising effing Arizona. Boom.
Yeah, for every I'll Wicker always, Man, you have Raising Arizona.
Or the movie Joe, if you've seen that.
I would, you know, in all fairness, just for argument's sake, I wouldn't say every. Like, because he's done, well, recently he fucked up his ratio. In the past five years, he's fucked up his ratio.
His last two movies have actually all been really good. Joe was really good.
Okay.
He's got an 83 on Rotten Tomatoes, 83, 84.
Okay.
And they're talking about Best Actor nomination for him.
Wow.
Frozen Ground is a thriller that he did with John Cusack.
Okay.
It got kind of mixed reviews, but I think most of that just came from the fact that it's Cage.
Have you seen Wicker Man?
Yeah, it's a piece of shit.
Fuck, it's awesome.
It's really good,
what's,
though.
You know what's really good is the witch movie, the one where they're escorting the witch.
I think he's called, got a sword or something?
I think it's called Season of the Witch. That shit was...
Halloween 3.
I love the fact that he's playing Ron Perlman.
He's playing Ron Perlman. That's his character.
All right, come on, guys. All right, you got to understand. The movie wasn't that bad, right? It was Christopher Lee or something, and I was there.
That's a really good...
That's good times!
That's the best Nicholas Cage impression I've ever heard.
That's
like,
way
seriously.
Better than Jess Castro's, man.
It is. I don't have a good Nicholas Cage.
No,
he
I don't.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. I can walk both worlds, or what does he say?
All right, it's time for a cage off.
You're going to win.
You're going to murder me.
Which one is in there?
Like, you could walk for both worlds. Or what is it? Ghost Rider. It's this Ghost Rider line that you always say.
What's like, the line? Feed me the line.
The line is...
not right on a cue card.
I'm the only one who... Now I'm doing fucking
Jason Statham.
I'm the only one who could walk between both planes. I don't even
know.
The line is, I am the only one who can walk between both planes.
I'm the only one who can walk between both planes.
Yeah, that's it.
There it is. Yeah.
My name's H.R. McDonough. Friends call me Hi.
Yeah, I was just about to say, you ain't saying.
Put the bunny in the box. Put the bunny back in the box.
You know what? If this fucking nerd thing doesn't work out, man, Nicolas Cage impersonator, dude. Yeah. I think you fucking own it. That's great. All right, do me a favor. Do a bumper for us for Nick Cage.
I was about to say, do fake bumpers.
Well, what line should
I do it as both Sean Connery and Nick Cage?
Okay, from The Rock.
Losers whine about the best. Winners go home and fuck the prom queen. Carla was a prom queen.
Yeah!
Really?
Damn it, sorry, I cut you off.
Can you please, for me, do a one-man show of The Rock on stage playing...
Turn to side.
Holy God, I would pay $20 to see that.
Yeah, we got a place that you could perform it at, and I'm guarantee that it would sell out.
Absolutely. I'm not even kidding. Overtime Theater, they totally let you like do a one-man show. I don't know how we can make it happen, but we can make it happen.
That'd be awesome.
That would be. Oh, my gosh.
Are you doing it in Nick Cage?
I'm doing the Nick Cage, right?
All right, so Nicolas Cage.
Let's talk about this.
Nick Cage.
Where's my haircut?
With the what's the line from Wicker Man?
There's so many of them.
Oh,
my leg.
Oh no, my other leg.
Why's it burn?
Hey, this is Nick Cage, a.k.a. Ghost Rider, a.k.a. Wicker Man. You're listening to Comedia Go Go.
He's not even the Wicker Man.
I know, exactly. You're listening.
He's not the Wicker Man.
I
play both roles. Hi, this is the unofficial Nick Cage impersonator, a.k.a. Ghost Rider, a.k.a. the Wicker Man, and you are listening to Public Access.
It's so good.
Where's my check?
Oh, it's wonderful.
That's got a tennis pelliculus de snuff.
I was thinking about being in a remake of Caligula, but then I decided to stop. Not because it was beneath me, but because I got tired that day.
What a killer Nick Cage.
Ugh.
God damn it, that was fun. I think IMAC, this is going to be the best show ever.
God damn it.
I'm calling IMAC. I'm sorry.
The hidden character from Mortal Kombat?
No, the fucking before the iPad.
His name's Ermac. That's what his name was.
Hey, I've got my computer. It's grape flavored.
Yeah, the fucking the IMAX. Yeah, they're the little fucking Wally computers. They were Apple computers.
Wally computers. They didn't look anything like Wally.
Yeah, they're Steve Jobs. He ran
Macintosh. No, it was obviously Wally.
We get it. We understand.
All right. Nat Geo did this thing
that's a great story called
Remember the 90s. It wasn't called that, but it was this three-hour documentary about the 90s. The best decade. Like, was this the best decade? The last great decade? Watched it with... It was Nat Geo, so it was like, you know, this has some substance behind it. But then it just turned into Remember the 90s on VH1.
Did it have, like, guest comedians talking about some of their...
Yeah, and it had Lewinsky and fucking...
Right.
Do you mind if I go off on a rant about the 90s very briefly?
Absolutely.
No, I want to hear it.
You know how everybody talks about how 90s comics were so bad, 90s comics were so terrible?
Yeah.
I know how Marvel was.
Okay, yeah,
Marvel was.
Books.
Image was. DC fucking wasn't.
What about Valiant?
DC wasn't, even though with the death of Superman?
But here's the thing. DC created Vertigo in the 90s.
Right.
They brought in Wildstorm.
Mm-hmm.
They wrote the Nightfall story.
Wasn't Hellblazer?
Hellblazer came out like in 88.
No,
it ran through Vertigo.
They created Preacher during the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Preacher, hell yeah.
Hitman.
Sandman.
You had Grant Morrison doing JLA. You had the Devin Grayson Titans. You had Young Justice by Peter David. You had Peter David doing Aquaman and actually basically be able to make Aquaman interesting.
Right.
And, they were doing everything right in the 90s, which is probably why, unlike Marvel, they didn't go bankrupt.
Yeah. Ooh. Very good point. No.
So what was your opinion then of the whole Death of Superman franchise and the Funeral for Our Friends and all that stuff? Like, you know, to me, it kind of ruined, because it was that influx of collector's items, special edition collector's items, right? And I bought into it. I was a kid.
The funny part about Death of Superman is that they really didn't do that. Like, they did have the little gatefold covers and everything, but there weren't variants. You know, the only variant they did was for Death of Superman, where they had the one regular one and the one polybagged one.
Yeah, the one bagged.
But I had the bag one, but for the after the Death of Superman, when it was a return, when you had the Superboy, that had two covers.
I never saw the regular covers, I only saw the gatefold covers.
Yeah, I'll bring them. Because I bought, my uncle was real like, this is an investment, mijo, right? And he bought me fucking all of them, so I have all of them. And so, yeah, they had the regular new stand covers, and then they had the Superman logo cover with the red, the blue, and then he opened it, and then it was like the picture of Steel and fucking Supergirl.
Oh, yeah, I had those.
And, yeah. So, I mean, they're worth shit. I mean, I have them all. Yeah.
But I think that came out at the death of comics almost, because that was almost like an attempt to resurge interest in it, because killing off Superman would be something to get people interested and invested on, like, on a national-wide, you know, press sting, because his comics were...
And my armband, bro.
Well, the funny thing is, like, if you look at the late 80s, early 90s, you had, it was right after Crisis, and you had, Chris Claremont was still doing X-Men, because in 1990, X-Men number one came out, was the number one selling comic of all time, and it was only topped by Spider-Man, number one, 1991, by Tom McFarlane. But the funny thing is, like, everybody talks about the speculator boom. But nobody really talks about the fact that there were companies doing good comic books. Look at the indie scene. Look at the black and white scene. Mm-hmm. The thing I loved about DC in particular was that, well, in the Batman books, they had one editor-in-chief, one editor working specifically on the Batman books, Denny O'Neil. And anyone who knows comic books knows Denny O'Neil. I mean, he did the Green Arrow, Green Lantern in the 70s. He revitalized Batman in the 70s. If anyone was going to handle these books, it would be him. And they were smart. They had three writers doing their books. They had Alan Grant from Dread in 2000 AD. They had Doug Moenk, who, while he's made some stinkers, his Batman work was really good. And he wrote Batman Vampire with Kelly Jones. And then you had Chuck Dixon, who he's actually one of our first guests, actually, we had on our podcast. He wrote Detective Comics for 8 years. He wrote the first 100 issues of Robin. He wrote the first 70 issues of Nightwing. He created the Birds of Prey. And it was a really smart idea. You know, take three writers, have them be the key writers, and then have a book people can have fun with, The Legend of the Dark Knight.
Cool.
That's a good way to handle your comic books. It just don't do what DC is doing right now, where you're relying on Batman and Aquaman to make up for the rest of your shit.
Mm. They Aquaman's just need more thing? Hologram covers.
They're doing that. That's the sad part.
I know.
You know why? You know? Do you want to know why? Because fucking Bob Harris, the guy who helped drive Marvel into the ground during the Clone Saga, is a freaking editor at DC.
Well, there you go.
It's like you've got...
He's like, I know what'll get us out of this, guys.
It worked for us before, and it worked forever. Two words, wet works.
Yeah.
No, now you just sound like Tom DeFalco.
Robert Loggia.
Robert Loggia. What the fuck do you know about jack shit?
I was in Lost Highway. I know this shit. I still don't know what that movie is about.
You're not supposed to. It's a David Lynch movie. Fucking, what's his dick turns into Bill Paxton.
Did you see what Louis did?
Bill Paxton wasn't in that movie.
Not Bill Paxton. God damn it. What's his name?
Dude with black hair who never showed up in a movie again afterwards.
Independence Day.
Bill Pullman.
Bill Pullman. Oh. Yeah, he just randomly turns into fucking Bill Pullman.
No, he was Bill Pullman Ruthless. First. And then he turned
into the dude.
Then he turned into Randy, who had no career for that movie, who hit on Patricia Arquette.
Yeah.
And then he turned back into Bill Paxton, and then...
You said Bill Paxton. It's
Bill Pullman.
He's too high back.
And after that, he teams up with Spanky from freaking Little Rascals. Yep. I'm not bullshitting on my butthole here. This is actually Spanky from Little Rascals. And then after that, he's the devil. Yeah. And then what the fuck?
And then Perfect Drug by Nine Inch Nails comes out, and the credits are awesome. Scene. Yeah.
when did those little old people come out of the grocery bag?
Yeah, that was Mulholland Drive. That was Lost Highway Part 2.
Yeah. Fucking Dennis Hopper was like, Mommy!
And then Inland Empire would have just said, fuck it.
All those movies are now just in my brain. Like, yeah, that was one movie.
And then what's his dick finds an ear? And then who killed Laura Palmer?
And then John Hurt was there.
And then he coaches Louie how to fucking be a late night talk show host.
That's what I was saying. And then they have the Lynch ending, which is, that was great.
The secretary.
I just saw that like a few days ago.
Which is like, there you go, ending.
And I'm going to end this movie like this. Eraserhead.
Boom.
Yeah. Okay, so, John Merrick was there.
So we're gonna have fun with the Lady in the Furnace. So Jess,
yes,
what's going on?
And this week's edition of Yeah, we're looking at that, a topic where I talk about the latest in movies and games, and hopefully the enthusiastic reaction of listeners and friends and guests is, hey, yeah, we're looking at that.
Oh wow,
yeah. So this week, I'm talking about Bayonetta 2. Which is something I'm extremely excited about. It Bayonetta
2.
Bayonetta 2.
Woody Allen was in that.
Yeah.
He took over country.
In Bananas.
Bananas.
Okay, Bayonetta
2. Bayonetta 2 is a sequel to Bayonetta. It was a hack and slash game corrected by Hideki Kamiya, who created Devil May Cry.
Yeah.
Which is fucking awesome. As you
saw. Well, actually, Shinji Mikami
That's right.
Yeah,
Jess.
You're true.
Yeah, Slimmy Madamis.
And so he'd actually...
Banana Marama.
Woody Allen. Woody Allen created Bayonetta.
There you go.
He did.
Makes a lot of sense, actually.
Full circle. In Eraserhead.
That's right.
That's right.
Okay, back to Bayonetta.
A game where you were a witch, a hot witch with glasses and a mole, a slamming body, long fucking hair, and witch powers. So
and the hair was her clothing.
And the hair was her clothing. She's wearing this black outfit.
I remember it was super hot, right?
Yeah, super hot. And she was able to resurrect demons from hell, pull them into the regular plane, and she was fighting angels. That was kind of the twist.
Ooh.
She was a witch who used demons to fight angels. All the bosses, all the enemies were angels. And the whole kind of plot of the game was that these angels were conspiring to bring the coming of paradise, but anytime you bring the coming of paradise means everything has to be wiped clean. So it's another classic Japanese tale of fighting God, which is kind of it happens a lot in a lot of games and anime.
Japanese, they hate God.
They do. And it's so much.
That's why they're a godless people.
So much, in fact.
I'm sorry, what?
Oh my God.
Right? Well.
They worship the Lord.
They worship the Lord?
Yeah.
No.
Welcome to the wrong podcast.
No. Yeah. So he hates Italians. So.
Yeah, it's like.
I'm half Italian.
This is public access. Access of evils. Japan, Italy, Germany.
I never said they were animals.
Arizona.
I never said that once.
Punch in the goddamn mirror.
So. Right,
sorry.
At the end of Bayonetta, she hated God so much, she punched God into the sun.
And that's how you kill him. That's the ending of the game. She punches.
Like you do.
She that's punches a god cool and then god. Yeah, it is fucking cool as hell.
The anime is good too, actually.
I can't wait. It's called Bloody Tears or something like that. It's got like a weird title.
Yep. It's Japanese. It has to.
Yeah, I have.
Absolutely. Come on, man. Let's go with the racism, my Mac.
I'm talking about anime. He's talking about racism.
No, they hate God.
They do hate God.
God damn it.
They do.
Well, they're always fighting him. Lots of the stories. Are there, what anime or game doesn't have them fighting the quote-unquote creator?
Remember the final Katamari Damacy?
Every single game by, what is it? The Shin Megami games.
Yeah, man. Yeah. That's delicious. If you ever had it at Fujiya?
Yeah, well, dude, you order Shin Megami and they actually bring like rice on the side. It's really
good. Yeah, it's really good. With the Hideki Kamiya.
Yeah, and the nigiri with the fried chicken roll. Go ahead.
And what about the Martian successor in a Daisuke they bring down the side? That stuff's fantastic.
Katamari Damacy.
Taco salad.
Aiko.
Garza Cruz 2016.
All right, back to Bayonetta.
So the very hot...
Is there fan art out there?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Google that. If Sarah Palin was hot...
Yeah.
And was a witch... And had long hair.
So she's wearing glasses, but
she's wearing
kind
of latexy.
She's hot. Has guns in her boots.
So did you like the first one?
I love the first one.
Okay.
So come to expect part like two. No. I hated it. I'm really excited about part two. It's actually coming out in October for the Wii U, and it's going to be pretty exciting because Nintendo's notorious for having family related games, Mario, Zelda, these family friendly games, and this is a game that they decided to back and help co-produce and co-fund, and it's this game about this half-naked, almost entirely naked witch fighting God and angels. Yeah. And so I think it's a really bold and ballsy move on Nintendo to kind of fully support it and try to like get it out and go against the grain, and I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be awesome. So that actually inspires this week's question for, hey, yeah, I'm going to look into that. And the question is, who is the greatest witch or wizard ever and why? And so to make things simple and to keep things...
But this is, in your opinion, who's the greatest, right?
Who's the greatest? Yeah.
Okay.
And just to kind of expedite things...
That's what I'm talking about.
And just to expedite things and get things balling, I'm going to go with Bayonetta. Bayonetta's my favorite witch.
Wow, that's a bold statement, my friend.
Because, like, it's listed there. She's hot. She looks like Sarah Palin. She's got a mole. A charming British accent.
Ooh. Oh, you never said she had a British accent.
She has a British accent, yes.
Does help.
Can handle many of weapons and guns and bazookas. Punch God into the sun. Like, this is a laundry list of awesome things that a witch has done, and that's enough for me to go, yeah, that's like the best witch ever.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
So it's not because the flavor's fresh in your mouth that you're saying it's your favorite.
That's my favorite.
You've really gone down the list and said that's your favorite. All right.
Yeah. I mean, that's my favorite witch.
Not even Suspiria?
I love Suspiria, but she was useless. She was invisible, and she got stabbed with a fucking peacock horn. And then she was like, my house, and it broke. Fuck her. Okay. She sucks. Right.
Come on, man. Yeah. We were obviously there for Italian Karen Allen, not the witch.
Yeah, exactly. But I will say this. Okay, real quick. Maybe second best witch from Thinner.
Ooh.
And even though she's a gypsy, I'll count that because that's
because you're racist.
That's a kind.
See, I like the poor man's Catherine Zeta-Jones on Thinner, man. When she lifts up her dress, shows off her panties. Yeah, for a nickel.
Because I think as America, we need the witch from Thinner.
To help us lose weight?
Yeah. Maybe I should run over daughters of gypsy women. But then all you got to do is give the pie to somebody else. There you go. Here, have some pie.
I'm all the pie.
I can.
Eric, your favorite witch.
You ever see the show Masters of Horror? It was on Showtime.
Masters of Horror?
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Do you remember the episode?
Something else.
There was an episode called Dreams of the Witch House.
Okay.
It was directed by Stuart Gordon. And basically, until you saw the witch at the end, she was a really hot, naked, big titty woman. And simply based off that and the fact that I am shallow.
That's why Jess picked his.
Yeah.
But in all honesty, best wizard ever, William Shatner. Because you know what? It's got to take magic to isolate yourself from everybody you work with and somehow manage to maintain a healthy career.
Wow.
Yeah. That's wizardry.
That's
real magic.
that's witchcraft.
Although apparently I'm the only person who actually talked to William Shatner who he was actually polite to. Because he and I were talking for just a few minutes. Everyone talks about how rude he is. And when I told him the truth. I said, you know what? Love Star Trek as a kid. Favorite movie with you, though, is always going to be Judgment at Nuremberg.
Oh, that probably won him over.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you're like, you know what? Fuck Kayak, man. I'm a Priceline guy.
Wait, what?
Fuck Star Trek 5.
Travelocity.
No, he's Priceline.
No, I'm saying, but you're saying Travelocity.
Yeah. Loved you in Incubus, the movie.
Yeah. I loved you in The Roast of William Shatner.
I decided not to bring up the movie from the 70s where he played a serial killer and it was really bad. Like, really bad, like, dollar bin kind of movie.
What's it called?
I can't remember what it was, but he plays a serial killer, and it was a dollar bin movie from the 70s.
Ooh, wow. I got to rook that up.
He's in a few. Yeah.
My favorite witch, and you're going to all roll your eyes at it, but I really gave it some thought, was my mother. No, was...
Let me tell you about my mother.
My favorite witch is Thea Leddy from Blood Cousins. Yeah, I know. Rolling the eyes.
It's a movie we made.
Yeah. Oh, okay. But
self-promotion.
Yeah. But it's not self-promotion because I really thought of it because my original answer was the witches from Clash of the Titans. I just liked them a lot.
The eyes!
That is the eye that
I've never watched. I haven't seen them so long.
Yeah, no, the old school one. Where's the eye? You know, they were just my favorite witches, but they had no like real like... reason why, except they were just fun, right? But Thea Leddy, man, she fucking
cold-blooded.
She took her time on her revenge. It took two generations for her to be satisfied with just getting back at her sister. Yeah. And you know, she was it was cool in Mexican folklore. I like it. Favorite wizard, Warlock. Movie Warlock.
Oh my god, I was going to mention that movie, but I decided not to.
No, dude. Fingers. I fucking love Warlock. Bite the tongue off out of a gay dude. I dug that movie. You know, I remember 90s, you know, growing up, you know, having this kind of unisexual, kind of blonde looking German, whatever he was, dude, and thinking, like, yeah, man. Dudes could be witches.
Shit, what's his name? Fucking.
Yeah, a boxing.
Christopher Helena Lambert.
Guy. There you go. Is that right?
No.
Oh.
Isn't the same dude who's like in fucking. God damn it.
I've seen that movie.
Boxing Helena, yeah.
Boxing Helena, yeah. Yeah. Yes. He's the archaeologist in Arachnophobia.
Mm-hmm. His name is Julian Sands.
Julian Sands. Boxing
Helena. That's IMDb,
Julian
Sands. Though.
Yeah, Julian Sands. He's in that Jackie Chan movie, The Medallion.
Why did you watch that?
Well, we saw it in the theaters. True story. True, honest to God story. We saw The Medallion in the theater because, you know, I'm a dedicated Jackie Chan fan. So watching it in the theater in abject horror the entire time, the ending, he literally grabs the girl and says, okay, let's get out of here. And he flies. He runs and flies out of a brick wall. And as this happens, Regan, without saying a word, runs out of the theater.
And he stormed out of the theater.
Walk out. He ran out of the theater.
Yeah. Okay, I've seen Highlander 2 more than once, and I'm like, fuck you, why?
thing that you'll enjoy this, that Julian Sands is known for more than any other movie, is Leaving Las Vegas.
Ah, nice.
Yeah. And Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, The Killing Fields, and A Room with a View.
What the fuck? He was in The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo?
Yeah, the remake with James Bond.
Yeah,
What's his name? Pierce Bronson.
Crazy.
He was a crazy guy.
He's all the crazy family members.
Yeah, he's all like, let's fuck, sister.
I didn't choose any witches.
Keep it in the family, folks.
Yeah.
Keep it in the family.
We otches.
I first was Mr. Wizard, who came to mind.
Mr. Wizard,
but he's not technically a wizard.
Comedian Magic.
Comedian Magic.
Exactly.
Second was Wizard Magazine, which was very important to my life growing up.
It was.
That could be the greatest
wizard. This is worth $3.99. I paid $1 for it.
But...
I actually got to meet Garib Sheamus back before they were like, dude, go away.
What?
Like, apparently Garib's not, Gabe Sheamus, he's not the head of Wizard anymore. I was talking to Jerry Milani, he's the PR guy for them, and apparently Gabe's not, is no longer a head of the magazine.
Hmm. Yeah. I didn't even know the magazine still.
Yeah, I didn't know
the magazine's not around, but as an online thing, there's
still. I got it.
But. Actual wizard that makes me smile, and whenever I think about this character, I love everything about him, is Akiro from Conan the Destroyer.
Yeah.
The Asian magician guy.
Yeah.
Who I love him in that movie. He's so fun and he's so cool and he holds his own against that other like hardcore magician guy, but he's like kind of humble and fun. Like, he's just a cool magician, man.
Looks like an older Mexican lady.
And my
And then well, he does.
And then what's funny is my other favorite magician is Egg Shan from Big Trouble in Little China.
I was just about to say that.
Who is probably both Asian, both super cool,
is it
humble.
The same guy?
No. Okay, no. Okay. Super cool, both humble.
Boom, that may have been racist.
But, like, but yeah,
they all Egg Shan
and Akiro, apparently. I do love Asians.
It's not as racist.
Yeah. But yeah, Egg Shan's cool as all hell, man.
Yeah.
God, I love that character.
Yeah, Earth, Wind, Fire, all that crap.
Yeah. Yeah. God, I love
fuck
Egg Shan.
Yeah.
So what about Facebook?
All right, Facebook's. Ryan Timothy Brace says John Constantine can face down warlocks, witches, monsters, and demons and barely have to use any magic himself in doing so. Plus, he's a great dresser.
He is.
You're dressed like him today.
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, unfortunately, it looks more like Keanu Reeves with the black hair.
I'm Dean Cain. Tommy Munoz says the kid from the video game The Wizard.
Ooh, which one? Like the Power Glove or Fred Savage? All of us just went off on that.
Because the little kid, he's a wizard, not the douche with the fucking Power Glove.
The funny thing is, like, the only one who grew up with a semi-decent career after all that was the kid who played Jimmy, the little brother. He's like the only one who actually is actually doing things.
Doing stuff.
No, that's not true. Fred Savage produces and directs a fuckload of shit.
He's also an asshole.
That's all I've heard. Yeah.
There you go. Fred,
yeah. Molly moly.
Shaggy from Putusan Poetry said, if Ruth Buzzy in the Bugaloos was a witch, then her. He posted a picture. And then if not, Samantha from Bewitched.
That's not Ruth Buzzy.
You know who told me and my family that he was an asshole? What was the name of the girlfriend? Wonder Years.
Winnie Cooper?
Yeah.
I don't know. Her real name
Danica.
Is Pat.
No.
It's Danica something.
Yeah.
Super hot.
Super hot smart. Dancing with the Stars. I would marry her
but,
today.
Yeah, she actually said, yeah, he was an asshole.
Wow. And then his best friend was Marilyn Manson.
Brandy Dunnigan said the Wizard of Oz because we got to see him behind the curtain, so vulnerable, so adorable. So never mind. He's a really crappy wizard.
So shit. Yeah.
He's the ultimate bullshitter.
Yeah,
man.
What a fucking,
you fucking fraud.
Maggie,
fucking liar.
Maggie Castillo Ivan says Witchy Poo. I don't. Where's. Does anybody know where Witchy Poo is?
Witchy Poo. Wow. IMAC, do you know who that is?
Well, I'm. Well, apparently, they. Witchy Poo just huffed a big bag of ether.
That's terrifying. Oh, here we go. Corey Dorsey says Don Herbert.
Yeah.
Mr. Wizard. Damn straight.
Yeah.
Carlos Castro says Nikola Tesla. I hear he can shoot ball lightning.
Plus, he's played by David Bowie.
Yeah, he invented the cloning machine.
Carlos Castro also said, or Michael Jordan.
Yeah, dude.
Get it? Because he was on the Washington Wizards.
Sports jokes. Gerardo Verdin says Daffy Duck, and then he posted a picture of, I don't know what that's from.
Wow. What's that? Because it's like
Daffy Duck the Wizard. I don't know.
With like these fucking hot anime chicks.
The fuck am I looking
at? Let's hit play.
Yeah, all right, yeah.
I'm starving. I gotta get something to eat.
Famished from his latest quest.
This is amazing.
The wizard seeks a snack.
The wizard speaks a snack.
He sets sail for ecstasy at the quesadilla.
At the quesadilla shack.
You know, I think Daffy Duck has won.
Yeah.
There are no more entries required. Daffy Duck has won.
Dino Fox said Eureka from Eureka's Castle.
You know who created that show?
Who?
No. R.L. Stein.
R.L. Stein created that? Goosebumps?
Yeah. Wow. And do you know where he got the term, I meant to do that, for the bat? His son.
Oh. I meant to do that.
Alfred Perez says Iron Top Merlin from Excalibur.
Yeah.
Yo,
yeah.
He creeped me out, but he was awesome all the
time. Gabriel Byrne, Patrick Stewart, and Liam Neeson in the same damn movie. If you haven't seen this, what the fuck, bro?
Crystal Bailey says Joan Rivers.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Was she ever a wizard?
Well, she's, her witch.
Jared Rogers says Richard Pryor as the Wiz. Enough said.
Cool. That's cool.
Samantha Lyons Reek says Merlin because he ages backwards and tutors the man Arthur.
So he's Benjamin Button, bro?
Brian Ortiz says the Wizard of Speed and Time.
Of course, that's his favorite wizard of all time.
Chris Mata says Uncle Arthur from Bewitched. And Stacey Medina says Ursula, the sea witch. She conned Ariel out of her voice and then used it for herself.
I'll take that. That's a good answer.
She's so nobody said Maleficent.
No.
Fuck her. Home wrecker.
The king's a bastard in that movie.
Yeah, he fucks her.
Apparently you're watching the wrong movie.
Chops her wings off, gets married, has a kid. Maleficent's like, why don't you call me anymore?
And I love how some of them have this and that's why, and fault.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fuck her, man.
Yeah, because that's the original story. Because the king had an affair with her, and the king was like, you know, it'd be best if you just kind of leave.
Yeah, like, quit calling me, bitch.
And then she's like, all right, fuck this. I'm going to stone in.
Yeah.
And, like, cast her daughter thinner.
Yeah, exactly.
Played by Charles O'Copley. I have no time for your shit.
Yeah, and so, like,
fucking he chopped her wings off, man.
All right, so wow. Bayonetta 2.
Bayonetta 2, sweet, comes out in October. And then if you got some Wii U and you've never played Bayonetta, it's cool because it comes with Bayonetta 1.
That makes
it really
sense.
Does. It's really cool. I think it's a great package. It's a cool deal.
The one I'm looking forward to is The Evil Within.
Yeah, that looks cool.
Taking
yeah.
us back to Shinji Mikami.
Yeah, exactly. Is the Resident Evil co-creator, and then who is he working with? What studio?
Bethesda.
Yeah.
And of course, creator of Goof Troop on the Super Nintendo.
That shit's awesome.
That's a good fucking game, dude. I remember that game.
I've actually got it. I've still got it.
You ever beat it, bro?
No.
No?
It is a great co-op game, and the funny thing is it actually shares something in common with Halo.
What's that?
Where they basically did what Halo did later, and everyone thought was really, really crazy and unique. Where if one character died, but the next character managed to make it to the next map, he could actually bring the other character back that way.
Oh, Max?
Yeah. Well, either one.
Yeah. Yeah. Goofy Max. And Max.
Yeah, fucking Capcom Max. Disney games were fucking awesome.
So who?
All of them there.
No, they were DuckTales, right?
Ooh. So Chippendales Rescue Rangers. That shit is. Ugh.
Who did Goofy fuck
to get Max?
To get Max.
It's the fucking,
Pluto.
It's the mystery of the what came first, the chicken or the broccoli?
No one knows. And then, like, is Huey, Dewey, and Louie Donald Duck's sister's kids or his brother's kids?
They would have to.
Or are they Daisy's
asexual
nephews?
No, they're.
No?
They're just, like, popped out somewhere. It's like, here we are!
And Scrooge McDuck.
Well, there's
was
a whole
the
thing because Uncle Scrooge. He's Uncle Scrooge.
Yeah.
And so he's Donald's uncle.
Right.
And then he's Huey, Dewey, Louie's uncle as well. So that means there's a third party because. There's somebody because one of those people you would one of them would have to have called him granddad.
Yeah,
but they didn't. They call him uncle. Oh, so there's missing.
That's a whole nother show. It's a whole nother show.
It is.
All right, let's.
All right, they were, so
yeah. So
Bayonetta 2, fuck it, man.
Yeah, I'm gonna look into that.
All right. I'm excited.
Cheers.
So now it's my segment. It's time for Dad's Cornered.
Yay!
Here we are on Dad's Corner, making dreams come true.
Stop counting coupons and get involved in Daddy's Corner, bitch!
So, you know, iMac, this is a portion of our podcast where we talk about, where I talk about being a dad. Do you have any kids?
No.
No, okay. Well again, done. Outnumbered. I'm outnumbered a lot. This edition of Dad's Cornered has to do with punishments. Now, we've talked about punishments in the past and how, you
we
know.
We put them in the box!
Yeah, exactly. How we were punished as children, right?
Yeah,
I have
fashioned.
A 9-year-old daughter and a 4-year-old son. And, you know, recently we went to Pho Vi, which is a really good Vietnamese restaurant off Marbach, right. Which is surprising because it's off Marbach. But I think because of the Air Force Base nearby, there's a really strong, you know, Asian, you know, population. There's a Korean grocery store
down the
street.
So that's closer or more convenient than
Pho Ha Long. Now, I love Pho Ha Long, but Pho Vi is pretty damn tasty. And the kids really liked the vermicelli bowls when we got them to go. We went to the restaurant, actually sat down so I can actually have some pho, which I don't like pho to go.
No, it's
you got to eat it there.
Yeah, it's really weird.
And I wanted, you know, some soup. And so we went there, we took the kids, and Gunnar, you know, was that kid in the restaurant that you don't want next to you.
That sucks.
And I gave him two chances, and I fucking had to spank him in the bathroom. And I hate that because I'm not going to be that parent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and I didn't want to take my soup to go. I wanted to fucking sit down and eat. So had to give him a pow pow. And
pow pow meaning?
A spanking.
All right.
And
hand?
Hand, what, on his hand or?
No, you spanked him with your hand on his butt?
Yes.
All right. All
yeah.
Right.
Just, you know, after three, you know,
just
chances.
Try
yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I had to do it. And I hate it. And I get the whole hurts me more than, you know, it hurts you because I hate doing it.
Yeah.
My job is to make sure my kids don't get hurt. So the fact that I'm causing them pain is a shitty
I'm pretty
fucking
sure my
feeling.
Dad never said that ever.
I've never said it. Yeah. I just know the feeling. No, like your parents, iMac, did they spank you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Pretty gnarly.
That's why you turned out good.
That's why you're a good person. My mom didn't spank me at all. And look at me.
But also realize that this is the same family where we're like, hey, I'm in college. Hey, mom, what's all Beyond the Valley of the Dolls on IFC? Okay.
Well, no, man. No, my
and Motel Hell.
No,
not like that with mine.
No, Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, we watched all the time. The Exorcist, no. Revenge of the Nerds.
Audition, that was the one we watched.
Ooh, Audition.
And then I watched it with my mom and my cousin, and then she went with my dad and said, hey, you like this movie. And
yeah.
We didn't tell him anything.
That's hilarious.
He did, but okay. His legs were kind of crossing at the end.
That's a toughie. Did you like it? Did you learn something from it?
Is that what you liked, you motherfucker?
All right.
So, I didn't like it. Learned his lesson,
mm-hmm.
Right? You know, I think we're going to be good at a restaurant again. You know, we're going to go back to Fovey, try it out, have a good family dinner. Mikey, she knows. She's a girl. She knows how to act in at a restaurant.
Also, she's got some years up on Gunner.
Yeah,
so
she's already past that age.
Yeah, she was learning how to use chopsticks. You would have been very proud, Jess. Ate her vermicelli bowl with some chopsticks. So, that brings up my topic question. Similar to what we asked before, but this crossed my mind. I thought it was pretty interesting. If the rules of parenting lasted for your whole life, where your parents still pretty much ruled you now, right? And they had the ability to punish you now, not when you were a kid. What would your parents have to do to punish you effectively? And let me go first to explain that. So what I think that my family would have to do to actually punish me, like if my mom was able to punish me today at this point in my life, I was thinking, you know, not let me go do comedy shows, right? You can't go and do comedy for a month. Would probably be like, fuck.
Yeah.
But I think the most drastic one would be taking my phone away.
Really?
Yeah. If she says, I'm taking your phone away for a week, not even a month, a week, I think I would.
You think you'd freak out?
I freak out if I don't have it.
And because, again, it goes with comedy. If you're taking a week away from comedy, you're taking away your phone is the equivalent of that. It's taking away your contacts.
I'm not going to be able to promote anything. I'm not going to be able to text. I'm not going to be able to Facebook or tweet. I wouldn't be able to do shit. So if I was a teenager nowadays, right, as much as I rely on my phone currently as an adult, how teenagers are now, if she took my phone away, it'd fuck me up. So if she took my phone away now, that would freak me out as an adult.
Interesting.
So
hey, please. I didn't mean to do it. I want my phone back.
Well,
please.
I went through this over my head and I was like, what could they do to me? And you're going to hate my answer, but if they took my phone away, dude, it would be nice to have a week of just like I was like, they could take my credit card and I'd have my debit card. They take my debit card, I have my checkbook. They take my checkbook, I got my driver's license, I can go to the bank and withdraw some money. So I don't care about my car. I don't mind riding the bus. So there's a lot of things that they could take away from me and I'd be like, I'm fine. But in all honesty, I would be really upset if they took away my passport. Like I would, because I can't do, you can't travel without it. That's one of the things that I can't, if they took that away, there's no substitute for it. There's months of processing to get another one of those things. I love traveling. And if they were to, they're like, we're taking it away for a year. I'd be like, God, Christ, no, like I would genuinely be pissed off and hurt. And be like, but I want to go, at least I can't even go to Canada without it, you know? Like, what the hell? So that would be mine, is if they took away my passport. Other than that, I'm good.
I can't go anywhere. Mom, I just want to go to Taipei.
Shut up. See, this is why he always...
No, it's cool, dude. I mean, oh, my God.
I'm going to the possessed player, Bangkok.
And he's been to all these places. It's so, you know, we'll be talking...
I got that in Bangkok.
Yeah, dude, it'll be like...
Yeah, they actually use that for the choking.
No, but it's just like, you know, hey,
You know what was really good this afternoon? Bill Miller's. I had Bill Miller's today. What'd you get? I never get the porkers. The porkers are really good. What'd you get for lunch? I had Wendy's, dude. You know, it was really good. You know, what about you? You know what was really good while I feel in a mood from? This restaurant that was in Taipei, Asia that I went to.
It doesn't do that. Fuck you, man.
Never
done that.
Never
done that.
When I was in...
I brought you chicken chips.
And you know what? I am indebted for life with you.
Those are the greatest chips ever. So much so that I've kept the bag.
We got to frame them.
From New Zealand.
An adorable penguin on it.
Yeah. I don't know whether chicken flavor.
I don't know what it tastes like. There's a fucking penguin on it.
Smell.
They essentially taste like chicken flavored ramen chips, but just they're unbelievable.
Yeah, I
need to...
Why don't you have more of these bags?
I didn't know they were going to be so good.
Yeah, so we're all going in on a crate.
Yeah. No, that's birthday party, man.
No, it's time for the... No, yeah, you didn't bring them. It's time for the crucifixion. I apologize.
No, you'll be invited.
Yeah,
so that you can
totally, man. We're going to eat these chips from New Zealand. New Zealand. I'm from Austin.
Jess,
Zealand, Austin's in place. They both... require transportation.
Yeah, to get to.
Very
perceptive.
Thanks, Nick Cage.
Jess, how are you getting punished these days?
For me, it goes the classic. It is the equivalent of it. You had said credit cards, debit cards. To me, it's freezing all financial assets. It's the equivalent of no allowance. It's the upgrade from that. Because it is that whole, like, okay, you freeze your assets for a month or whatever. Well, then you really can't do anything because you can't ride your car because you got no gas for it and you'd have to pin one of the friends or whatever. And then you got to feel like an asshole because you asked them, hey, man, remember the time I bought you dinner? You got to spot me or whatever. And then you can't do these things without your money. You can't freeze your assets. And then you're working for free because that's under the guise of I'm working, I'm making my own living, but your parents are still able to punish you.
Yeah.
So now I'm working for free. Where did that month of money go? They're not going to give it to me like a back payment.
Well, that's just evil.
Yeah, that would be the worst.
I got backup Visa gift cards, though, and a backup Valero card just in case.
Yeah.
Always got a backup.
iMac.
That would be it.
If your parents could still punish you now, what would they have to do?
Well, considering what I do, take away my internet.
Oh, yeah. And that's legit. There we go.
Yeah.
And the one other thing, considering how many conventions I go to about a year, take away my car.
Yeah.
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 That'll do it.
That would, yeah. If they took away my car. But then again, just like to your point about taking away the phone, it'd be nice to not have to fucking go anywhere for a little bit.
Like,
but then to your point, Jess, I would still have to go to work. So then I have to call somebody to get a fucking ride.
See, I like going places. I don't like being at my place. I'll help my hobbies. I enjoy there. But most of the time, I'm out and about doing something, networking, talking to people.
Right on.
Just want to be out doing something.
Yeah, that's the internet's your phone. Like, that's how you communicate. Like, that's, that'd be rough.
Yeah. So, what about on the Facebooks?
Facebooks, Ryan Timothy Brace says, start charging me for room and board.
So, oh, man. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jacob James Garcia says, same as the kids today, take away my phone. Yeah. My spank bank is less creative than it once was.
Dude, yeah, limp ass imagination.
No, but that's legit though.
My spank bank being like the stick figure with boobs.
My spank bank's me looking at porn on my phone. That's what my spank bank, or Louis, what Louis C.K.
Well,
said. My spank bank is other times I jacked off. Oh, my own apartment, yeah. It's Louis C.K.
He put, I need it to be served to me on a silver platter, a POV platter. A POV splatter platter.
That is awesome.
Wow. Shaggy said, back to the future style abortion.
Wow.
Brandy Dunnigan says, take away my liquor cabinet.
Okay.
Jacob James Garcia says, ooh, Larry Garza. I just realized my post sounded familiar. Luann Splatter. Larry Garza.
Yeah, Luann Splatter.
You guys rock. I'm a little drunk. Bye.
Luann Splatter.
Oh, this is honest.
Right. Yeah, when he shit himself in his car. He had the Luann Splatter.
Andy Salinas Garza, whoever that is, said, the same way they'd ground me when I was a kid. Take away my sweet snacks. Ouch. Right where it hurts.
Oh, man.
Chrissy Baker said, when we were kids, our parents would make us pick up dog poop in the yard with tiny fireplace shovels and a bucket as punishment. It would still be totally effective now. Yeah. Sounds horrible.
Actually, that's the worst one so far.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Like internet cars.
Picking up dog poop.
With a little shovel. With
little shovels.
It fell again.
Oh, man, mowing the grass. Ugh. I hated mowing the grass.
I do it almost every week.
Yeah, that's why I'll never own a house. Corey Dorsey said they'd make me go outside instead of going to my room, as opposed to back in the day when I was sent to my room and not to be allowed to be going outside.
Oh, funny, yeah. Right?
Like, go outside.
my skin.
Alfred Perez. Alfred Perez says, as an adult, I don't know, probably a lot of cold shoulder and uncomfortable silence. Something's got to give at that point.
Yeah.
That'd be tough. Samantha Lyons-Rake said, make me go to work in an office with people that want to comment on the weather wearing pants all day. The horror.
Look at these pictures of my kids. I don't care.
We needed the rain. We really needed rain. It. Yeah,
somebody washed their car.
If I stabbed you right now, I would go to jail.
Yeah.
Stacey Medina finally says they would make her eat something else and watch as her family eats pho. My mom makes the best pho, so it's that's nothing to do with yours. So forcing to be, man, that would suck. Oh, like if your mom like made your favorite meal and then you couldn't eat it
because you were being punished and they just ate it in front of you.
Yeah.
So I hopefully you're enjoying your Todd's while we eat this ravioli.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And they serve you. Fucking. They serve you fucking some fucking.
I mean like actually dog turds.
Oh,
so they serve you spam like it's a spam sandwich.
They're having like this fucking awesome lasagna, and they give you Sir Chomps a lot or some shit like that, and
your dino nuggets.
So it's like, hey kids, it's Hawaii Day. Here's some spam. I'm gonna eat my food.
Yeah, right. I'm gonna go eat this pot roast. Well, yeah, man. So parenting, man. Fuck it.
Yeah, fuck punishment, dude. Punishment.
Let's do whatever the fuck we want.
We're adults. We can eat breakfast at any time of the day.
Time of day.
I have never eaten cereal in the morning. For the record.
It's like, well, I could eat lasagna for dinner, or I could eat these 17 boxes of Sour Patch Kids.
Exactly.
Toast Crunch.
Because I'm an adult.
Cereal with milk? Night snack.
Yeah.
I've never eaten in the morning.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It's weird. Yeah, man. So, punish your kids, man.
Yeah, spank them.
Next, we have my topic, which is, hey, that's not funny, where I talk about stuff that's really not that funny, like science and whatnot. And today, I'm talking about a scholarly article that was released from Brown University that talks about how extinctions during the human era are way worse than we thought. So, extinctions are about 1,000 times more frequent now than in the 60 million years before people came along.
Now, is this extinctions of anything
just
in general?
Anything and everything. So they're, you know, they go through fossils and they look at all the things. And it's like, okay, you know, you're looking, this was still here. This went extinct at this point. And then, you know, just, part of it is also we can, definitely see how many extinctions are happening more now because I guess everything's a little bit more visible, but they're for sure, like, they didn't know this until now, but that it was 10 times lower than scientists had thought, so the current level is 10 times worse. So it's apparently the current extinction rate is more in the order of 100 extinctions per million species a year. So it was one extinction per million 60 million years ago. Now it's 100 per million species. So essentially, we're killing things off a lot quicker these days.
Yeah, they're delicious.
There are so many kinds of bacon you can have.
So the article goes into much more detail, and it just brought up my topic was, what has gone extinct in your lifetime that you wish was still around? And this could be anything and everything. My two answers are kind of not real because they still technically exist, but in my world, there are things that I'm like, man, whatever happened to that? The first one is talking on the phone. Like, that just doesn't happen these days. And I used to be so good at it. I loved talking on the phone. I was the guy who I could talk to like a girl. I would talk to like on the phone for hours and hours. I liked it. I used to stay up all night.
Yeah, but that's talking to a girl though.
Regardless, guess what? I still know girls. I don't talk to them on the phone.
I think that has more to do with the fact that now that they can come over. I think, yeah, that's the truth.
That
is the truth. Yeah.
Because before, all you had was the ability to talk to them on the phone.
No. Just believe me. it's not, it doesn't exist anymore. Like, it's almost like you said, you don't like talking on the phone. Yeah, guess what? Like, nobody really likes talking on the phone. Stupid. Girls don't like talking on the phone. And that was the key demographic of phone talking back in the day was girls. So I miss talking on the phone. Like, it's just,
I think, you know, it has to do with the fact that phones aren't really comfortable. Like, all those, as much as they do, phones aren't comfortable.
Definitely
anymore because of the heat that it generates to your ear. Classic phone has, it was meant
To rest on.
Yeah, and so I think that has a lot to do with it, of just having this hot brick to your ear.
Well, they have the headphones now where, like, I put my headphones in if I'm going to be talking.
Or Bluetooth.
Or Bluetooth, So, I mean, it's just something
that I really...
No, it's effective.
Or you work at a call center. Yeah.
So, talking on the phone.
You're a spy.
Number two is pubic hair. Girls' pubic hair.
I was like, I'm.
What?
I was like, I'm going to prove to you that that's not a distinct
Meanwhile, back in the 70s.
Like, there was at this some point, it's gone. Like, it's just across the board. Apparently, girls have come to an agreement to where they're like, hey, no more pubic hair. Huh. And it's the thing is, like, do I prefer it one or the other? No. But it's just like, why did that happen? Like, who made that agreement?
It's like, I see pubic hair like throwback jerseys. It's kind of like if
a girl had, he'd be like, oh, that's cool.
It's like, oh, yeah, man. Yeah, fucking Jerry Rice. He's like, he was a great wide receiver.
But it's like the thing of if I was to see it, I'd be like, oh, my gosh, I forgot. Girls can grow pubic hair.
Of course they can.
Yeah, but it doesn't happen anymore.
You know who agrees with you is Our old buddy Trip Marsalis. I'm going to call him by name because I don't think this is embarrassing. He says that he doesn't like porn without pubic hair. He's like, I'm an older guy. I like to see hair on my vaginas because it proves that I'm a woman when they do those Brazilians, like I'm watching kiddie porn.
Yeah, there you go.
Like, and I'm like, wow. All right. That, you know, but that's a perspective for an older guy.
Yeah.
But apparently he has experience with kiddie porn.
Apparently.
Here's the thing, though.
Like, loves Bush.
I don't know if anybody knows, but do hipster girls not shave? Is that a thing?
Ooh, I don't know. I just know Andy.
Yeah, see,
granola girls, two different
granola girls. Okay, that I can understand.
But I'm wondering, hipsters, hippies. Everywhere.
Yeah, see, and that's a different thing. Those girls, but I'm just wondering if hipsters do it because, like, oh, it's cool, you know. I do it because it's
no, but they do fucking handlebar pubes.
No, I thought
that's what a hipster chick would do.
Now come on, I'm half hipster and half Italian.
Yeah, no undershirt.
I thought it was the middle ground. I thought that was the age we were in, is this middle ground of not like total Bush, but just...
But not 90s Dorito.
At least maintenance.
No middle ground.
It's either... It's all over or nothing.
It's nothing.
It's all or nothing.
It's nothing.
But you'd fucking... You'd fucking munch on a patch if
he's... Why not?
I guess.
Why not?
I don't know, man.
I don't know. It would seem almost nostalgic. Yeah. I would like it, like, man.
It's like eating Link cereal. It's like eating Link cereal.
Not to lose my shit.
Here's the thing. The thing is, I look back to my first sexual encounters when I was younger, and guess what? There was pubes involved,
right?
And that's kind of like. That was like, oh, man.
We called
cool.
it flossing.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
It's like driving in a Mitsubishi Eclipse, right? Who does that anymore?
It's like, that was my first car. I love a Mitsubishi Eclipse.
Exactly.
That's the thing. It brings back good memories. Maybe that's just, not that I have bad memories. I don't know. But that's something that's no longer around.
Another avenue to look at that is, I remember eating out a 15-year-old.
Good Lord.
I mean, technically, that's...
Why would you say that?
How old were you? How old were you in those sexual experiences?
I tried to keep this.
I'm just saying, dude.
You tried to keep this clean, dental floss.
Yeah. Thanks, Nick Cage.
Larry, what's your answer?
It's very similar.
All right.
Fucking finger in 15 or shit. I'm just joking.
Good.
I used to do it all the time when I was 15, man. Why can't I do it now?
Wait, before we started recording, you said last month.
I'm crying. It was right there.
Why would you say that?
Because it was right there.
Because he's classy.
Yeah.
Good God.
I'm joking, dude. But it's basically what you were saying. Here's the thing. Here's my real answer. And it wasn't even remotely dirty. What? You went there. You went to pubes. What do you think I was going to say? It's your fault.
Now I want to know, when's the last time you fingered
a chick?
He was 17? Obviously going to say Trapper
17.
Keeper.
Yeah.
Wow. Not even the what? That, just oh, but you're talking about just that only fingering.
Yeah. Only finger bang.
Okay, because I'm because yeah, we know who we're talking. Not, I mean,
you're
I'm not
talking
saying,
about fingering my wife.
No, yeah.
Why would I do that?
Okay, that's
it's
what I'm
like,
saying.
Why would she give me a hand job?
I know, right?
It's like we have kids together.
Bring back memories.
Yeah. Hey, remember when you jacked me off in blah blah blah?
Like a movie theater.
You remember when you jacked me off in a go kart at Malibu Grand like, Prix, and they thought like, we were just Daddy, bumping each other?
God damn it! All right, real answer.
Okay, the Arch Deluxe.
Oh, God damn it!
No!
Yes! God damn it! Right, yes!
Your answer.
It
it's
is
your
my
answer.
Answer!
It's your answer.
Because they're never bringing it back! Oh! And. And.
But
at the same
Deluxe,
restaurant.
But Arch Deluxe is the fucking Jumbo Shack we've already established.
No,
this.
It's not! Because of that sauce! That's a dude. Okay,
okay, you're right.
I used
I'm
to
sorry.
Get Arch Deluxes
I'm
all the
sorry.
Time.
Yes,
Arch
you're
Deluxes,
right.
They had that Kaiser roll or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They had
Kaiser
soda. Thank you, right?
tennis there was no Kaiser roll.
There was the yeah, because it made your leg limp because of the diabetes it gave you. But that sauce, whatever the fuck it was,
right?
And it had bacon bits in it, and then it had that weird circular bacon patty. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Okay. All right.
I've
never had one, so.
Yeah, I love the Arch Deluxe. It was fucking awesome. And on top of that, and this made me very sad, bummed me out, and I signed the petition, was hot mustard from McDonald's. Did
hot
you
mustard?
Know, did yeah, you know mustard? That they discontinued hot mustard?
For the nuggets?
Yeah.
You can't get that?
You cannot
really?
Get that.
Interesting.
There is a Bring Back Hot Mustard Twitter account. And a campaign, they just nixed it. I went like seriously as a kid because you remember they were selling chicken nuggets as an Asian dish. Remember that's why they're sweet and sour.
Yeah.
That's why there's hot mustard. They used to give you chopsticks.
Yeah, okay,
right. And so hot mustard was on the menu, and that's what I eat with my nuggets. Like that's
that's my go to. But I don't have McDonald's. But yeah, okay.
So
yeah.
I went there. I would say about 2 months ago. And I ordered myself nuggets, right? I ordered the kids. They got sweet and sour. And I was like, and then for, and then I'd also like, you know, hot mustard for me. And they're like, I'm sorry, what? Honey mustard? I was like, no, hot mustard. And they're like, 1 second.
They had no idea what you're talking about.
And but it wasn't that long ago that I had ordered hot mustard.
Oh, okay.
So they're like, sir, we don't have that in the menu. And I'm like, this fucking idiot.
That would have been like, you.
Right?
It was like if you asked for an Arch Deluxe.
Exactly.
Right.
So I'm just like, this chick doesn't know what she's talking about. And I was like, I don't want to get a manager or anything. I was like, it's the yellow packet with the...
Like, nope.
And they were like, no. And then a manager had to come out and say like, no, sir, actually, there was some discontinued sauces. The sweet chili, the hot... I went, no, it's like you guys discontinued the Big Mac. What the fuck? Like, I was like, I didn't say what the fuck, but I'm like, why would you discontinue an original flavor? They're like, sir, I'm sorry. And I'm like... They're like, but we can get you another sauce. And I went, you know what? No, I don't want chicken nuggets.
Did you want nuggets with the hot mustard?
Yeah.
That's what you like. Yeah.
So I felt like Jack Black and Tenacious D. Right? I'll take an 8-piece nugget. I'm sorry, sir. All we have is a 10-piece
then
or
I'll
a 6-piece. Then I will have nothing. I'll have a small carrot juice.
And some apple slices.
Yeah, exactly. And so
we don't have that. I will have nothing then.
Then I will have nothing. Yeah, so hot mustard and Arch Deluxe.
Either one of you? Yeah, of two things, and one's for me, and one, I'll answer on Lisa's behalf as well.
Okay.
For me, as always, and will always be Crystal
Pepsi.
Pepsi.
I knew it.
I was going there with the Arch Deluxe, dude.
Crystal Pepsi. Crystal Pepsi is amazing. It is this amazing nectar drink of the gods. It was amazing, and they had this awesome campaign that apparently bombed. And
I like Crystal Pepsi.
Crystal Pepsi was fucking awesome, and
drink
just
squirt.
It survived a little bit in Canada apparently, and they got rid of it faster here. But the silver linings is that the closest thing to it would be like a ramune soda, which are those Japanese
sodas
with a little pop marble.
Yeah, okay.
So that's the substitute. So you can kind of have that. And the other one for me that's close, but I'm answering on Lisa's behalf is Viennetta ice cream desserts. Do y'all guys remember that?
The tiramisu things?
No, what it is, it's like a picture like an ice cream lasagna with this
yes,
really
yes.
thin layer of chocolate, ice cream, thin layer of chocolate,
yes,
and it's
yes.
like several layers.
That doesn't exist anymore?
It only exists
in the 90s, man.
It was late 80s, 90s, and I think they only sell it in Germany. I think.
Because we looked online
and tried to like see what place would sell it or whatever, but it's gone. And that needs to be in my life. It does. It's the best thing.
Honestly, me and you need to join forces and have a 90s food party with the Arch Deluxe, the Viennetta, some hot mustard chicken nuggets, and
Crystal Pepsi.
And Crystal Pepsi, thank you.
Yeah.
IMAC.
I miss action movies before Michael Bay and Roland Emmerich.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I like the idea back in the day you could have something like Canon Films.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which would make just low budget movie, promote the hell out of it, and somehow get Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 into theaters.
That's right.
Yeah. That's awesome. What are your thoughts on early Michael Bay and early Roland Emmerich? Like, do you enjoy like The Rock or Bad Boys or Independence Day?
I'm going to go all the way back for Roland Emmerich and say his first American film, Universal Soldier.
Right.
Yeah. Universal Soldier is awesome.
Yeah.
I can go back and rewatch that movie. The stunt work is really, really good in that movie, especially the dam scene.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing is about Universal Soldier is that the recent sequels, the direct-to-video sequels, are much, much better than the movies that released in theaters.
That sucks, because part of me wants to watch them to be like, oh, these must suck. But I was like, eh, you know what? They probably might.
They're solid. They're action movies. They're fun, for sure.
But they get dark as fuck, especially with the last one.
On Netflix? Are the Redbox or Netflix? Where are they? How can you watch?
Fourth one?
Here's the funny thing about the series.
And wait, does the
fourth one realize that the sequels between sucked, so they dropped everything from continuity except Universal Soldier 1, and then it skips straight to Universal Soldier Regeneration, and then Day of Reckoning.
And it's got Dolph Lundgren.
Dolph Lundgren and Van Damme.
And Van Damme are both in it.
And it's funny, there's a big action star, soon to be action star. He was in Zero Dark 30 and a bunch of other stuff. And he's actually the star of Part 4, and he completely owns the movie.
Nice. I'll go see that now. I definitely will.
But what about, The Rock?
Love The Rock. The Rock is a classic.
That's the thing for me is, early Michael Bay's career, like, that. I was into his movies.
The funny thing is, I was never a Bad Boys fan.
I love Bad
Boys. Bad Boys was fun, and Bad Boys 2 was too long as it was. I had a blast. I thought it was much fun.
Bad Boys, I loved Bad Boys.
And
the humor, I just liked it.
As much of a horseshit movie as it is, I love Armageddon. I don't give a fuck.
That's so fun. It's freaky.
I like Armageddon a lot.
I love the fuck out of Armageddon. And it's a Criterion Edition. So I have the Criterion Edition of The Rock, and I have the Criterion Edition of Armageddon, and then just somewhere after there, like, sincerely, when Pearl Harbor was coming out, I sincerely thought that, like, before it came out, before it had all the bad stigma, I sincerely thought that was going to be the movie to turn, like, Michael Bay into, like, a
legit filmmaker.
Like, legit filmmaker. It would be, like, his Titanic in terms of giving him, like, legitimacy. It was what people will say about Titanic or whatever, but it's the movie that gave James Cameron his Oscar legitimacy. I thought Pearl Harbor was going to do that for him, and it fucking shockingly opposite. I was sitting in the theater going, holy shit, this is terrible, like surprised. And then there's after that point to where now he has that name where he has the stigma of like fans all around, like, oh shit, like really, he's going to be in charge of that? Like, it went from, I actually went from like being he's excited gonna be behind someone there,
the movie,
yeah, and then now it's like, god damn it.
I just picture the time where he's like, where he tries to get those guys back together for another movie. It's like, Rachel Weisz, I'm making a new movie. You want to be in it? Yeah, I'm busy. Affleck.
I offer you $5 million.
I have an Oscar.
Affleck wouldn't do it. Michael Bay.
I have an Oscar. I have to go.
Yeah, he's way too legit.
Josh Hartnett. Yeah, I actually pick the roles I'm in. So yeah, go away. That's what I like about Hartnett.
Disagree.
Like, there was an interview with him, and he basically said the reason that he, you know, that he's basically doing his own thing, doing the shows and movies that he wants to do, is because, you know, he didn't really like the whole Hollywood system idea of, hey, take this role. Yeah, I don't really want to take that role. The movie doesn't look very good. And it's like, you know what? That's pretty cool. I wish more actors were that ballsy.
Absolutely. We're looking at you, Mark Wahlberg.
Man, I'm a Transformer. What do you mean I'm not from Texas?
Oh my god! Real quick, Dick.
How's
your mom? You guys see the movie Dread? The new
Dread
one?
Was amazing.
Fuck yeah!
It's The Raid.
Okay. Yeah, but they, in all honesty, there was two. Even Gareth Evans said it was a total 100% coincidence.
Are you serious? I just recently watched.
They've actually talked to both directors. Both films were being made at approximately the same time.
And they had no idea. It wasn't until production.
Are you serious? Yeah, it's like
Paul Blart Mall Cop and Observe and Report, dude.
Except that wasn't.
Holy God. Because, okay.
Except it wasn't.
What's funny is I was like, Dredd got a really good reviews. And then, like, I saw it on Netflix. Really good reviews. Oh, no. Yeah, yeah. And I was like, oh, I'll watch it. And I watched it. And I was like, yeah, it's a good movie. And I was like, wait. This is The Raid.
Yeah.
But it was my AC/DC thing to where, well, it's The Raid is a great movie, and they just kind of redid it. It's Dredd is a great movie. Like, it's still good, good movie.
Director of The Raid is, like, when people were, like, tagging him with the thing, they stole your movie, this and that, he's like...
That's incredible!
He's like, they were making this movie the same time I was.
I'm so glad I just said that, because now, okay, yeah. No, they're both really good, but man, oh man, are they the same?
Yeah, no, movie. It's very very conceptually the same.
Oh, no, it's like, you know, Kevin James is the mall security, and then like it's Seth Rogen,
Deep Impact, Armageddon.
Yeah, except Kevin James isn't funny, so
I like Kevin James.
All right,
how many Adam Sandler movies has he been in?
A lot.
Good Lord,
he's a new Chris Farley.
If only he was.
Yeah, sure. He is. Tell me that the roles that he plays, Adam Sandler wouldn't have casted Chris Farley in all those roles.
Yeah, except Chris Farley would have said no.
Nah,
he would have said he had a drug addiction there.
Yeah, he was a school bus driver in fucking Billy Madison.
Yeah, but
Kevin, like, if he died,
classic, though.
If he died isn't earlier, absolutely.
Yeah.
If he died before Billy Madison, I guarantee Kevin James would have been the bus driver.
Yeah, but like the internet meme said. Was Adam Sandler really ever funny, or were we just 12?
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
He made it, though. He did it. All right. Facebook's Maggie Castillo Evans says that she misses typewriters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just doesn't. Yeah. It's really inconvenient. It's really hard to sustain a typewriter.
Yeah, screw that.
Yeah.
I said, I'm half hipster, half Italian.
All right.
Yeah.
Shaggy from Poodle Slam Poetry says, Comedia a go-go at Sam's Burger Joint.
Yeah. I got five likes. But, ass kissing.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's not, because I miss it too, Shaggy. Yeah.
Samson Portillo says, Fruity Punch Laffy Taffy and Hope.
They still have Fruity Punch Laffy Taffy.
But apparently he doesn't have Hope anymore.
Got it.
Oh, yeah. That's gone. That's long gone.
Hope Corey, is his hooker.
Corey Dorsey says, Sega Dreamcast. But
I still have mine.
I was going to say.
Yeah, I still have mine too.
The funny thing is, there are actually a lot of indie game developers are still making games for the Dreamcast.
Is that right?
True. Yeah. Yep. Like, they're still being made today.
That's what an Xbox is.
Gerardo Verdine says, old school Metallica. After the Black Album, nothing was the same.
They're gone.
Yeah.
They're gone.
They don't exist anymore.
Yeah. Alfred Perez says, of all the things I lament, which are dead past, I would have to say my Houston Oilers.
Wow. Man,
yeah, no, of all things. I mean, I saw them almost make it to the Golden Land, and shamefully, they got theirs pushed in by long has been Joe Montana.
Oh, man.
The remainder of the years were a hazy blur of team management's bad choices and the fans' lack of support, which finally ended the franchise in Houston.
Fuck the Titans.
Fuck the Titans.
Yeah. Fuck the Titans.
Ross Carter says, Surge.
Oh, the soda.
Surge, dude.
Josta, bro.
I would drink the shit out. Surge.
Crystal Bailey says the thing that went extinct is her sex life.
You have a kid.
Oh, she has a kid.
Now, that's what you get for having a baby.
Yeah.
Say goodbye to sex. Jared Rogers says TV shows that are canceled before they get a good ending. Firefly? I'm still mad about Young Justice.
Interesting.
Okay.
They're actually talking about bringing it back.
Ah,
yeah. Well, like they actually confirmed it, actually, Young Justice.
Well, listen to this next answer.
Yes, let's listen. Samantha Lyons Riggs is porn with pubic hair.
Oh, that exists. That isn't extinct. There's
you just
there's
type
new
it.
Porn.
It's called Italian porn.
No, it's a fetish.
It. It's a fetish.
Yeah,
fetish exists.
Jay White Cotton says Crystal Bailey's sex life.
I love it.
Corey Dorsey says my sex life with Jay White Cotton. Hashtag that beard. Corey Dorsey says Samantha Lyons Rake porn with pubic hair. Two words. Sasha Gray.
So maybe Sasha Gray is hot, dude.
Yeah, she has pubic hair.
Yeah,
I think she's smart.
She's an actress.
And an artist.
She was in Saints Row 3. Come on.
Wow.
And they didn't bring her back.
What's that say about you, huh?
What's that say about Saints Row?
Stacey Medina says music videos on MTV.
Yeah, that's extinct and never going to happen again. Well, it happens like at 4 or 5 in the morning.
Does it really?
Yeah, it's called like the...
This new channel called YouTube.
Yeah, exactly. It's called like Wake Up San Francisco.
Chris Payne says the thing that went extinct is his comedy set. No longer exists.
Yeah, I was about to say, that never existed.
Oh!
Hey-o!
So, yeah,
Human race, wait, we're killing everything really fast.
Isn't Chris Payne that terrible actor with the blue lips from Dungeons & Dragons?
No, he's a terrible comedian that was on our podcast.
Who has blue lips, who likes Dungeons & Dragons.
That loves 90s funny. Grunge. He is funny. I like him. Chris, I'm just giving you a hard time, dude.
Pain. Like, he always tries to play badass, but he comes off as, like,
Olivia Munn's husband?
What's his name?
Someone cares about Chris Pike? When's the last time anyone cared about Olivia Munn?
Yesterday, me.
That's just because you're on 4chan.
Yeah. Ah, G4. So yeah, that's not funny.
Nice. iMac, at the end of our show, I don't know if you knew this, but public access is an educational program.
It is an educational program.
Right. So we ask our guests and we ask each other.
Fucking learn.
What did we come to know? What made us come to know something new? Okay. So Jess, as always, so pull it over. What did you learn from this fucking podcast?
I learned that apparently pubic hair is extinct.
That was going to be my answer.
It's extinct. Apparently, it's extinct in my magic land where I'm at. It's not extinct. It's not. But I'm just saying.
Oh, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
But it is maintained and it is not. It is not like. You know. It's taken care of.
So your pie crust has the fork indentions, is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, what?
You take time with the pie, man. You got to make it look nice so people can eat it.
Yeah,
the front yard is waiting.
Got to prep the hedge clippers.
Yeah, it's exactly.
They definitely use the edger on that front yard.
That's right. The pussy hair's trimmed.
Yeah. It's not like the shit I'm packing.
Why is it shaped like Pac-Man? I don't know.
Murray, it looks like
Paco Paco Man.
It looks like a character from the Boondocks. In any case, pubic hair is apparently extinct in some other magical kingdom, but in my kingdom, it is maintained but not extinct.
Good to know. Good to know.
That's a great story.
What I okay. came to know is that Nicolas Cage
curses. That was mine.
How are you doing? What have you come to learn, my friend? Tell us now.
Does a pretty decent Chris Walken.
Damn it!
And that Regan hates the Japs. Regan,
that's not what happened.
So Jess hates eye ties.
No,
Regan hates the Japs.
Well, what I originally have come to know was that Ian does an amazing Nicolas Cage. But kind of stole that from me. So what else did I come to know today? That Larry hasn't fingered a girl since he was 17.
Yep. All right. You know that.
But just straight fingering. Like, you're saying
never going to happen again.
Saying fingering is if that's the only thing.
I fingered her.
Like, that was the peak.
That was me getting some.
Yeah.
And then I ate Chick-fil-A afterwards.
That's what you didn't wash your hands. Doing sense.
Say what?
But you didn't wash your hands.
No, I didn't. Why would I? Fucking smell fucking.
That was a trophy.
It was a trophy. You go show your friends, like, smell my finger, and then.
It's like, why did you go with Courtney Love?
That wasn't Courtney Love.
Yeah, exactly.
But definitely, I came to know that you do a magnificent, magnificent Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
So iMac.
I've learned that Dean Cain is doing so well in his acting career that apparently he is hosting Comedia Go-Go for free.
That's right. Dean Cain,
what he's doing,
Jason Statham, and Larry Garza.
And Danny Trejo.
I'm a machete.
No, we're seeing it.
And Emma Stone. Hey guys, I'm Emma Stone. Hey, Batman. Hit me with your web shot. I've got a pocket full of sunshine. Yeah, guys, I'm Emma Stone. So I'm a big Spice Girls fan. I'm Emma Stone. And
well, let me tell you about my new movie, okay? Now, here's the thing. It's actually spin off of Wicker Man. So, I come back from being dead because of the bear suit. All right. Let me see if I got this down. All right.
Because.
Got the bear suit. And so, the Wicker Man and I team up like a buddy cop film. set in Mars. Okay. All right. Michael Rooker's there.
We gotta fight him.
The Rook.
And the Wicker Man is played by William Fichtner.
It's called the Rooker Man.
Yes. So we work with the Rooker Man and Michael Fichtner so we can fight all the Mars zombies. Pam Grier's there and Jason Statham. And the whole thing produced by John Carpenter.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nick Cage.
I'll have you know that Dean Cain starred in 2009's The Dog Who Saved Christmas. And also, he starred in 2011's The Dog Who Saved Halloween.
Ian, have you seen the Dog Who Saved Christmas?
I have chosen not to.
Okay, boom. All right.
Where are you at?
That's right.
At least he was not in the best movie ever.
Because Christmas needed to be saved by that dog.
But Halloween.
He's not doing Christian films with Kevin Sorbo, so he's doing okay.
That's good.
Yeah, or Kirk Cameron.
So iMac, where can people find you, follow you on social media and things like that?
You can find me on circuit42.com. You can find me on YouTube at circuit42. Of course, follow us on Facebook. And you know what? I'm a friend whore, so just add me on Facebook, Ian McIntosh.
That's right, guys. Hashtag iMac. Jess.
Hashtag friend whore.
What do you think, Jess? What do we got going on?
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening to us again on oneofus.net. You are one of us, and we are one of you. You can get our past episodes at comediaagogo.com. Lots of old good stuff. Lots of good guests. Lots of good times. You can follow us on Twitter, at comediaagogo, hashtag public access, Facebook, Twitters, all that good stuff. And we got a cool movie, Blood Cousins, at bloodcousinsmovie.com. It's a comedy horror flick, and it's awesome. And if you use the code FIESTATUBE, one word, you can see it for $5. It's dynamite! I love it. It's a good flick. And
my favorite witch is in it.
And his favorite witch is in it. See for yourself. Lots of treachery. Lots of hilarity. Lots of just total, just, it's good stuff.
And guys,
And 70s pubic hair.
That's right.
Yeah.
This Saturday at Trip's Ultimate Comedy Club and Humor Bar in Canyon Lake, Texas, it is going to be a Comedia a Go-Go extravaganza.
It's going to be really fun.
Larry and Regan comedic duo will be headlining Trip's Comedy Club September 13th. That's going to be at 8:30. Featuring will be Larry Garza, also from Comedia Go-Go, and hosting this big event, Regan Arevalos.
None other than Regan Arevalos.
From Comedia Go-Go.
This is literally going to be the first time we've ever done this.
And I don't see why we haven't before.
I know.
So Regan Arevalos hosts, Larry Garza features, and Larry and Regan comedic duo are going to headline. And maybe I can give my uncle a guest spot.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too. Possibly.
Yeah, so guys, come out to Trip's Ultimate Comedy Club and, you know, share your love of pubic hair with our friend Trip. Thank you so much for joining us, man. I really appreciate it.
This was so much fun.
You're welcome. And now that we've finished the all-ages show, when are we going to do the 18 and up show?
Yeah, exactly. Right now it's going to get dirty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This was really fun, but probably not as fun as the 2014 movie starring Dean Cain, The Three Dogateers.
I did not make that up. The Three Dogateers.
Wait, who else is in The Three Dogateers, my friend?
I don't know. Does it matter? I think Dean Cain pulls a Nutty Professor and just fucking plays everybody.
No, Dean Cain actually plays the dog.
Richard Reel, the guy who made the jump to conclusions, Matt, in Office Space, Bill Oberts Jr., Andrea something, Sabrina, three Dogateers.
A cavalcade of amazing talent.
Damn straight, Dean Cain still got it.
Special guest star, Jeff Goldblum as the dog.
So guys, if you're fans of public access, don't forget to join our group, the Happy Campers, and submit us a review on the Three Dogateers. Tell us what you thought about it. And how much you loved it. And let's support Dean Cain and his career. Okay. iMac, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for listening, all you guys listening. And once again, this is Larry.
This is Regan.
And this is Jess.
And we'll fuck you later.
Here comes the fun! Here comes the fun!